welcome to Intentional Living Center. What's your attitude like today? You got a stinking attitude, good attitude in the workplace? Are you positive? Are you excited about what you do? Or would you rather go find a hole and jump in? Or have someone else dig a hole and jump in, I guess. Workplace attitude. We got some real practical help for you. How do you keep a good attitude in the workplace? What do you struggle with in the workplace with your attitude? We can help. This is Intentional Living. It's the only way to live, to be successful in your life. Let's do it. The lines are open. Join me now.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your work, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center. You know, one day we talk about marriage, today we're talking about work, but the theme or the foundation of this whole thing that we do here in Intentional Living is about being intentional in five essential areas of your life that will dictate success or failure in your life. First of all, your faith. That's foundational. You got that one right, the other ones come along much easier. If you don't have that right, the other ones are tough. We talk about relationships, in particular marriage and parenting. Because you get those right, boy, you know, if you're intentional, it helps. We talk about finance, another essential area. We talk about health. And then, of course, we talk about the area of work. This is one of these five essential areas. And you know what? When you think about a third of your life being dedicated to work, if you work full-time outside the home, those of you that have a business in the home, or if you're at home, you know, that can be a workplace for many of you. Attitude matters. Here's what I have found. People that have a great attitude about what they do, even if their skills are a little bit less, man, you can really go a long, long ways. Another person that has higher skills but a crummy, stinking attitude, you and I can do without, right? So how do you keep your attitude going? I mean, this is a success or failure fork in the road. What do you wrestle with your attitude, not other people's, but yours? Now, if you're a pilot, you know what an attitude is. It's an instrument that goes on the dashboard there of your airplane, and your attitude is a picture of the nose of your plane, right? When I was younger, I took some flying lessons, and I can remember there was an attitude. You know, the attitude was either up, your nose up, or your nose down. You know, your attitude was either up or down. And that's sort of a picture, a word picture of our lives. And I just told the guys here and the lady, Sally, before we started, some days my nose is up, some days my nose is down. And it was their fault, I said. It was their fault. And that's what we do. We tend to blame others. You know, I'd have a great attitude if it weren't for you, you know, in my marriage or coworkers or whatever. And then the scripture say something about let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, you know. We're talking about attitude. What does the Bible have to say about work? It's interesting, in the second half of the book of Ephesians, Paul lays out for us our relationships. It's a very practical passage about wives and husbands, about children. And then over here in chapter 6, he talks about service on the job, and he uses the word servants in the context that was being written in the first century to understand that today we'd be looking at employee and boss. He says to you as an employee, be obedient to those who are, you know, the bosses according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. That's a profound thought. Work is not just to please your boss, but to really please Christ. You're doing the will of God. And he goes on to say, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. In other words, as a boss or employee. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, something to the bosses, to the business owners, and you, he says, and you, masters, bosses, those in charge, do the same things to them, giving up any sort of threatening, knowing what your own master also in heaven shows no partiality. In other words, God, through the Apostle Paul here, lays out in just a few verses the formula for making our work environment a happy place, a productive place, an intentional place. I want to focus on God's intention. Step one is to focus on His intention. Well, what is His intention? We believe, according to Scripture, that God's intention for you and for me in half of the time that we spend waking hours in the workplace is to be the most productive, cooperative, honest, and hardworking person in the business, honoring God and looking for opportunities to grow every day. That's a good definition in having the right attitude in the workplace. As we focus on that topic today, that's an excerpt, by the way, from one of my teachings, in this case on the topic of workplace attitude. And I just want to remind all of our members, if you're a member, your ongoing monthly support is appreciated. Also, by now, you should have received the teaching for last month and pretty soon the one for this coming month here in May. And I thank you for your support. It makes a big difference. And also, open the door to you, if you're not a member of the team, to come and join us. You know, your financial support obviously is very important. We can't do this without it. We're a listener-supported ministry. All the things that we do, our resources, our events, your donations all go to keep the radio program on the air, to help us with our satellite and with our staff and so on, and I appreciate that. But also to allow us to have our website and our worldwide ministry online. For instance, we've got a intentional one thing challenge with, we're approaching now 50,000 people that have gone through our online classes. That's available to people all over the planet. We have an active social network of people all over the world that we're interacting with, and you're making it possible. So come and join us. We need your help. Be a part of the family. Go to theintentionallife.com. Again, just go to theintentionallife.com. So how do you keep a good attitude at work? 888-1717 is the number. Let's go. Brenda, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good. How do you do this for yourself?
Well, I listen to Christian music while I'm working. So, yes. And then, because I work in a laundry room, and whenever people are grumpy or have attitudes and stuff, and they come back here and talk to me, the music changes them. And I see it, and I get more happy because I'm actually doing something that's productive, and it helps me in my Christian walk.
So you listen on the radio, and now do you do that with the radio playing so others can hear it? Do you have little earbuds?
No. It gets pretty loud sometimes because I get into it, and I start folding laundry to the beat of the music.
What kind of industry are you in there, Brenda?
The hotel industry.
Oh, all right. So you're in the laundry area. Keeping everything moving on. Well, good for you. So you find that your attitude makes a difference when you keep 90.3 on the air for you and let the programming come through at Family Life Radio.
Correct. Just seems like when people come in with not so good attitudes and they're back here with me talking and I can see them listening because they're toning me out and listening to what the song is saying at the time. And hopefully they're getting a message because I get them all day long.
Ah.
So hopefully they're getting messages and they're aware that who the messages are coming from.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, you keep it going, turn it up and just confuse the people around you. Why is she so happy and why is she folding faster than everybody else? What's making the difference? Hey, maybe it's the music she's listened to. So, hey, that's a word. By the way, Brenda's in Phoenix. She listens to Family Life Radio 90.3.
Communicate any kind of information that you and your job that you're doing, they have the right attitude, the right motivation.
I've been unemployed now for about 5 months. I was in broadcasting, and I want to maintain that career, but hearing your show and talking about what are you doing to be intentional about being a better person, keeping your job, I realized I needed to get down on one knee and say, please guide my thoughts, my words, and my heart, Jesus, because I would listen to some of my shows and realize my tongue was out of control.
I'm being the best that I can be, best of my job so that my customers are more than satisfied, and I'm being flexible. As we lose people, we have to adapt and pick up more positions, and we just do it with a smile and keep giving our customers the best service available.
There you go. Great attitude. Hey, you got a business that's failing, do the attitude check, okay? That may be more than anything that's going on there. Charles, welcome to the program from over in New Mexico. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Carlson. You know, two things that I do to make my work enjoyable and intentional. The first thing is that I do it as unto the Lord with so much gratitude for the job that He has given me, because I love it so much. It's a blessing from the Lord. The second thing that I do is that I refuse to listen when people start trashing each other. Just walk out. Yeah. Just walk out.
That happens, doesn't it? It drags you down. We become like the messages and the people that we hang around with. What kind of work do you do, Charles?
It's healthcare industry, blood bank.
All right, so you're serving the public directly yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going right into where the patients are receiving blood in the hospitals.
Huh.
So it's so rewarding.
So what helps you? What it's rewarding? You're helping people. That's a big part of it. What do you do when your attitude starts to sink a little bit?
Well, I just try to remember that this is the job that the Lord put me to do. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it now for 36 years that He's blessed mm-hmm. me with. So He's kept me there one day at a time for all that long.
Uh-huh. So what drags you down most often when you do feel down? What is it? Is it the talk that
people,
you talked about?
It's when fellow employees trash each other and gossip behind each other and complain about each other. That's really a bummer.
Yeah, that for sure. Okay, man, thank you for your call, Charles. Appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do.
Well, glad to do it. Good attitude, working in a place, helping people. Good for you. Charles, let's go from New Mexico to Florida. Ned. Hi there, Ned. Welcome to the program.
Hey, glad to hear you.
Appreciate your call. It says here you worked for 66 years. Is that a typo or is that true?
No. I started working when I was 10 years old, working for my family on the farm.
Uh-huh.
And I really didn't count those 3 or 4 years. But since I've been employed, it's been 66 years.
Wow. And how would you grade yourself? Are you retired now or are you still working?
Yeah, no, I retired about a year and a half ago. I put it all away, you know.
Put it away. All right. For 66 years, give yourself a grade on your attitude overall.
1 to 10, probably an 8.
Well, that's pretty good. How'd you keep it up there?
I gave everything to Christ.
Now, how'd you do that in practical terms? People understand how you did that when you faced opportunities to have, instead of an 8, a 2, you know?
I would just pray to Him in my mind when things were going on to keep me calm and keep me aware of what I'm supposed to do.
What kind of work did you do for all those years?
Well, the first 8 years in the Air Force, I was a flying aircraft. I can't remember the name of it now. I'm old. You got to remember that. aircraft crew chief for 8 years. Then I went to electronics school, and for 12 years, I was a computer technician.
Huh.
And then after that, I was 20 years in a print shop.
Wow.
And then 16 or so years driving a bus for mentally disabled, which, by the way, was the best job I ever had.
Wow, that's really helping people. That's fantastic. So you retired for a year and a half. What have you learned about life from retirement?
Keep yourself busy. If you don't, your body will waste away. You want to keep busy, and you want to, when you get up in the morning, pray and do your Bible study, and then pray continuously if possible. And then at night, pray again. You know, prayer is the answer.
Yeah, we see people. It's a kind of a strange thing. You see people work to retirement, they get there, and then they do many times. You see them fade away. I mean, they have health problems that kind of like were held back, then boom, they show up, or there's some crisis. And Some people are probably fearful of retiring for that very reason. So you keep busy. What kinds of things do you do to keep busy, Ned? What do you do?
Just odds and ends. Mainly, I try to help the ladies. See, I live in a retirement village back in California, mm-hmm. and I help the ladies that don't have any husband or anything. I help them do little stuff that would cost them an arm and a leg if they had it done.
Good for you. Well, there's a real service. You got we've had our radio stations have done in the past, like car care clinics for single moms and so on a Saturday somewhere where some of the guys that are mechanics or mechanical come and change oil and do that kind of thing. I agree with you, Ned, and I hear it over and over from the men and women that get to that stage, they retire. Keep busy. Do something productive. If you work your whole life with the attitude of, I'll be happy once, and I think that's the other thing, I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when I turn 65. I'll be happy, you know, when this happens, and then when that happens, you ain't so happy, you know. So it is a daily thing, you know. No matter if you're just starting out in work in the middle of your career or at the end, every day to get up and know that this is another day to serve God. Okay, Ned, my friend, stay busy today, and thank you for your call, my friend.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and God bless.
Yes, he certainly has. Call from Florida. Thank you, Ned.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. You know, in the grand scheme of things, a half hour really isn't a whole lot of time. Unless, of course, you're sleep deprived by a small child in your house, or spending way too much time at work, or there's just one more place you need to take your kids, and a half hour becomes a premium. So if during your day you haven't had time to catch Intentional Living, or your listening got interrupted, there's a great little invention called Archives. There, you'll find every program we've done on Intentional Living for the past few years. Just go to theintentionallife.com/highlights. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Instead of taking it into my own hands, I prayed and trusted that God would work out the whole situation.
Andrea's intentional one thing, praying for a difficult coworker, brought about unexpected results.
She was like a mean girl at school, but it was just at work. Even when you did things right, it was still wrong. And kind of insulting, would make comments, just mean. And so I began to pray. I prayed for her. I prayed for myself also. Like a couple of weeks later, I went into work and she came around the corner and she said, "Hi, Andrea, how are you?" And then I turned to her and I said, "Hi, how are you?" And from that point on, we had become great friends, eating lunch together. She even came to our church a few times. And from this point on, we are dear friends.
One thing you can do to overcome a challenging person is to pray and leave the results in God's hands. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to begin living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
My name is Andrea, and this is my intentional life.
Share your voice, your story, your passionate perspective with the staff at Intentional Living. Just call 888-888-1717. We really want to know your ideas for future programs. Or we'd love to hear your story because you might encourage other listeners. And we'd love to hear about the issues you're facing that Dr. Carlson can help with. So tell us what's on your heart today. Call 888-888-1717 and talk to us at Intentional Living.
Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to our Intentional Living Center. You know, I've been in leadership in our ministry and in the business side for, you know, a lot of years. And over these years, I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people that have come through the ministry doors to either be a part of us for part of the ministry for a short time, some for a few months, some for 20 years, 30 years. And I've seen people retire, and I've seen people need to leave, and we've seen people who choose to leave, and that's just part of the process of working together. And what I've always been amazed at over the years is the realization that each of us really do work for ourselves. I heard someone say, when we go to the, yes, you're employed by your organization or your business, but you really do work for yourself. In other words, when you go there, you're really making a decision. Am I going to be here or not? Am I going to be fully engaged or not? Am I going to be a part of making solutions work and solving problems, or am I going to be part of the problem? It's a decision that you make. And it's easy to blame others, your boss, your coworkers, the system, the pay, the whatever. It's easy to look at external things that are influencing how you respond to the day, everything from your spouse to your kids to your coworkers. But at the end of the day, we really determine our own level of satisfaction or happiness or contentment and what have you, no matter what environment. Because you and I have both seen people who are in situations that are difficult, and they seem to have a great attitude. You've seen others where they're in the same situation, they have a crummy attitude. And I'm always amazed. I've seen people who have left at times, and they had a bad attitude. And I was thinking, man, they have to own that. That's really their thing. You know, there's probably issues that could have been handled differently and done differently, but they're taking away that attitude with them to the next place. And others who may come to a point in their lives and they move to another place and they have a great attitude. They see it as an opportunity that, you know, God's opened another door or whatever. So at the end of these days, at the end of the day, we really do make a decision ourselves what our attitude is all about. Here's what people are saying on Facebook and Twitter. What motivates you at work? James says, right now, nothing. Right now, nothing. Being honest, he said, it used to be the Lord until the bosses started giving me problems. I need to change back to the Lord, he said. In other words, I was there, wasn't there, need to go back there. Probably all relate. Seeley says, I'm retired and enjoying the fruit of my labor. Looking back. Ann says, I'm retired, but when I did work, I put all of it, I put my all into it every day. Stephanie says, the Lord. Amy says, helping others is what motivates her to have a good attitude. Melody, I think she says it well, feeling accomplished, doing a good job, working hard and smart, and knowing I did my best. I've learned over the years that I have to motivate myself. Now, it helps when others can help lift you up, but you know what? If you wait for that, they're waiting to be lifted up too. We all come to a place needing to be lifted up, and sometimes it's, you know, you got more to give than you did the day before and so on. And learning to really motivate yourself, that's critical. How about you? You can tell us about it on Twitter or Facebook. You can go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you're welcome to go to Twitter at Dr. Randy Carlson and ask Dr. Randy, right? Hashtag, they say. Put a hashtag before Ask Dr. Randy, right? Thank you. You can tell something about I'm not hashtagging myself very often. All right. We're talking about workplace attitude. I got a great attitude about that. How about you? Talking about being intentional today.
A few weeks ago, we actually had to make the decision that we were going to have to lay off half of our employees because of the economy. Something that I've been wanting to do before I let my paint guy go because he's so skilled at what he does. I had him paint a scenario of the cross on the tailgate of my truck along with the scripture John 15:13. And that had such an impact in the community that our business over the past week has tripled.
What I'm intentional about, there's a couple things at work, but the one main one is being honest, being upfront. If I make a mistake, I tell them I made the mistake, or I be honest with my employer. I put in a full day's work.
I always tell them that God's in charge. So all you can do is to come in, give 100% every day, and the days that you can't, you know, you're feeling bad, the bad days, give everything that you possibly can. And then when you leave, do the type of job you can pat yourself on the back on the way out. Go home, take care of your family, don't worry about your job.
There you go. Hey, listen, great advice today. If you'd like to tell us your story, you'd like to share with us about attitude and how you have learned and what you've learned, hey, listen, just come to our 888-1717 number and click on the comment line, leave your story, or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Colossians 3:23 in the New Testament, Paul says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That's a mindset. I was reading a devotional this morning when I got up, and the picture was to picture Christ literally being inside of you and looking back out through your eyes and moving your hands and really being that intimate in that relationship, as we see that our service to people is really the Lord working through us and serving through us. And if you can get into that mindset and allow your heart to be in that place, it can make a difference. It really can. Intentional living. You have a choice every day. You either choose to be intentional or you choose not to be. And when you choose to be, it makes a difference in a positive direction. When you choose not to be, you choose to be more good-intentioned or unintentional, that becomes a consequence in your life, and you know that. So we're here to encourage you because we know the more intentional you are in your walk with Christ, the more successful you will be in every area of your life.
We've been very fortunate to create a team here, and I'm very conscious of the fact that without the team, we can't be successful. One person cannot do this, so I don't look at anyone on my team as working for me, but in fact working with me.
One of the things that's really a challenge is I do work in a place that there are a lot of unsaved people. And being in the management role, God has called me to really be intentional in maintaining a positive attitude, and not just a positive attitude, but a Christ-like attitude.
I'm a physician assistant, and I work in a state prison. And I've done that for 16 years. I've been a PA for 19 years, and I was a nurse for 6 years before that. When I first met Jesus, I was 13. And I gave my life to him, and I was given a vision that I was going to be practicing medicine on a mission field sometime in my adult life. I just didn't know it was going to be a state prison.
Wow. Hey, you know what? I'd love to continue to hear these stories because I want to air more of these in the days ahead. What you're learning about work, about making decisions for work or advancing in your career or risking to take a start of a business, what God's been teaching you, share those stories with us and how being intentional has made a difference. All you have to do is call anytime. You can call 888-888-1717 and press switch button. What number is it? Number two. You have these prompts. If you want to do this, press one. If you want to do this, press two. And I know it frustrates, but it's very efficient. And we try not to. I hate it when it's, if you want this, press 10. You have to wait through until you get to yours. We only have a couple of them here, but go to press number two and you can leave your story and we'd love to hear it. Here's a good proverb to close the program. Proverbs 13:4. Lazy people want much, but get little, but those who work hard will prosper. That's a proverb, 13:4. I'm Randy Carlson for Steve and Sally. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.